So I know it will be okay. I know I'll be okay. I know that I'll be happy in the future and then, like, things, you know, that this is, again, like I said, a moment. It's just, I'm not in the future. I'm in the present. And the present fucking sucks dicks.
That's Ashley Scannell, and I'm Trevor Holtner, and this is Footloose and Fancy Free, a comedy podcast about serious shit. This podcast contains graphic descriptions of illnesses and injuries, up to and including amputation. Listener discretion is advised.
Okay, today is Tuesday, June 5th. My surgery is this coming Monday, so the 11th. I think this is probably my second journal. I'm just like rapid cycling between like depression, anxiety, fear, anger. Anger is a really big one right now. And then some sense of acceptance. And I don't know how to handle it. There are 21 unopened text messages on my phone. There are 12 Facebook messages. And this is the exact number. It's, I think, like 18,000 emails, which, like, I'm historically difficult to get a hold of. That's how the email thing happened. But I see the text messages, and it's all nice stuff. Like, some of it's even my friends, whom I love, going through their own stuff and reaching out, and I can't respond. It's this weird desire to avert anyone who sympathizes with me, who cares about me. And I do talk, so I mean, I tell people, but it's weird. It's really weird when you, like, fire off a text about how angry you are and how you don't understand why things like this continue to happen. Like, why it's not over and how upset you are that it's never going to be over and you will, you know... You're inconsolable. You're in mourning for this life that you always wanted, that you're continually reminded you'll never have. I know how hard it is for people to hear. You know, I've spent a lifetime trying to articulate this well and speak to people about it. But, you know, you finally break down and you like tell someone all this stuff and their response is always like, oh, because they don't know what to say to you. And I'm not angry that someone doesn't like have some beautiful wisdom on the expanse of the universe and my place within it for me. But for some reason, like, your love makes it worse. Because I understand like what I'm putting people through. I'm acutely aware of it. I think in my first recording, so on the 31st, I got a phone call from my dad during that recording, which I think you heard in the background, and I ignored it. I still haven't talked to my dad. I don't know what I'm doing anymore. So I'm going to try and dissect it, really. Because it's not this surgery. So it's really not the anger. Like, me bottoming out right now isn't, I don't think, specifically about having my leg amputated. There are lots of things about that I don't like, that I get kind of sad about. It's really just the fact that, like, in the past 3 years, this is my fourth big surgery. It's the fact that down the line, they think I'll probably lose the other leg. And it's the fact that it's been so much, like, it, and that feels like a whiny bitch ass thing to say, right? Like, I feel dumb saying it. I think maybe that's one of the reasons I avoid people, and speaking to people that legitimately just love me and want to support me, like, I don't know how to deal with it. And I don't know, you know, you, when you go through something like this, and I think I've mentioned this before, like, you lose friends along the way and it's not really their fault and you can't really be mad at them. But I don't like being viewed as in a hopeless situation, and I'm mad because part of me feels like I am. And it's such a weird, complicated go fuck yourself mix of feelings. I don't know. And then we're doing this show, right? And so sitting down and recording myself, like, legitimately makes me feel better. Saying it out loud helps. So, I mean, I will say that. Like, I know saying it out loud helps me. Talking to people that legitimately love me, that I know feel pain when I tell them about pain that I'm in emotionally, makes me upset. And that's a stupid thing, because I realize now, like, I wholeheartedly have a grasp on it today. Because a friend sent me a text and was like, look, I understand that you need space and I want to give you that space, but I need to know what's going on. Like, you need to give me an update. And I say that in the least controlling way possible. Which is literally the least amount of effort someone could ask me to put in. Because it's not even like, call me, talk to me. It's like, can you just send me a message? And I get that. I get that not sharing is agonizing to people that love me, and then their love is agonizing to me. So we're stuck in this weird fucking, and I feel isolated, and I know that I'm doing it to myself, and I don't know how to get out of that cycle. And the thing is, like, I wholeheartedly know that I'll be happy in the future, that I'll be okay, that this is a moment. And I realize not everybody knows, like, not everybody has that sense. So not everybody can have that sort of hopefulness where, like, oh, there's a future and this is a moment. I mean, one of the ways that I did that is just planning things in the future all the time. And not necessarily because it gives you things to look forward to. It's just because if you keep telling yourself there's a future there and you can see it on the fucking calendar, then you begin to train yourself to believe that there is a sense of a future. Like, you can train your brain to be more positive, but that's stupid and I hate doing it. Like, I've had to. Look, it's a necessity thing, but it's a dickish concept to introduce to someone in a pit of despair. I know that 100%. Which is why that's not advice I'm giving you. I'm just telling you how I've had to come to believe to survive in a way. So I know it will be okay. I know I'll be okay. I know that I'll be happy in the future, and then, like, things, you know, that this is, again, like I said, a moment. It's just, I'm not in the future. I'm in the present. And the present fucking sucks dicks. It's it's so bad. Like, I can't sleep for more than a few hours now. I have, like, these terrible anxiety nightmares. Like, so I had one where my teeth were just, like, crumbling. So not really where they were just, like, inexplicably falling out. It's like they'd been beaten out of my mouth. And I was just, like, spitting out blood and pieces of my teeth. Which is a pretty common, so, like, losing your teeth is a pretty common anxiety nightmare. If that makes you feel better. But I had one where, like, someone broke into my house. And there was a gun in my house, and I didn't get to it in time, and the person who broke in got it, and then I was just hiding under my bed, but for some reason I had, in my dream, like, one of those day beds that sits high up on a wire frame, so, like, I knew that if he came in my bedroom, he could see me, and the dream was literally just me laying under the bed, like, waiting, and I kick into, like, fight or flight response during these terrible nightmares, so I wake up shaking. Because your brain trying to handle things is a terrible thing. There's a stupid book that I really like that I bought, and it's called How to Be Happy or at Least Less Sad. It's mostly just, so it's a mindfulness journal. The whole point, it's not to give you advice. It's not a traditional book. There's just places where you like write things down and you scribble. It's really just you writing and thinking about the way that you feel. So it's a thing that helps you come to your own answers. And it sounds stupid saying it out loud, so please don't fucking at me. One of the reasons that I try and do the mindfulness bullshit, which this is just another form of that, is because your brain was made to make you survive. It does not give a shit if you are happy. Making you happy is not your brain's purpose. So being happy is something you actively have to do for yourself, and you can't always do it. And this is just a testament to that. Like, I can't always do it. I am inconsolable, and I don't want to talk to anybody. When they try and talk to me, I'm like, no. It's like watching a movie, really. Like, watching myself go through this at this moment in time is like watching a movie. I know the right thing to do. I know that my feelings are valid and that this is all part of coming to a place of joy and acceptance with what's happening, right? But I can't actively intervene and change the thought process that I'm trapped in right now. And I mean, the important thing is to realize that, like, those feelings are healthy and you've just got to do it. Like, you've just got to put your fucking knuckles on the pavement and let yourself ride this out. I would recommend, I guess, like, don't fight it. Like, that's the thing. Like, I really am trying, like, not to fight that. And instead just, like, force myself to actually deal with and cope with those emotions. Because, like, time and time again, when I hear stories from other amputees, they're like, even if you had time to plan, when you wake up and you don't have a leg anymore, it's gonna hit you like a fucking truck. And the thing about, like, having time to plan, like, that kind of sucks because the truck just hits you longer. You're just more anxious about the truck. It's like if you're standing on a train track and the train is coming from behind you and you can't move, like, it's honestly, like, a little easier. Like, if in this dumb shit analogy, you didn't hear the train, like, it's easier because you don't know it's coming. It's harder if you see it all coming. For me, that's the thing. I can't speak to anyone else's narrative or anyone else's feelings. And I feel like I'm constantly, during the course of it, like, during these journals, like, I'm constantly, like, backtracking and be like, well, hold on, wait. And that's the thing, like, doing a show like this scares the shit out of me because, like, just last night I sat down and you know how you, like, scroll through your own fucking Facebook feed and you're like, God, I'm a fucking dick. You're like, I don't understand why anyone puts up with me. I don't know why anyone talks to me. I am fake as fuck. Like, this show's gonna do bad. And we did a photo shoot day before yesterday, and, like, the entire time I was so uncomfortable in my own skin and the fucking dress, like, taking these photos, and we did some, like, silly photos with a mannequin leg, and the whole time I was like, I look like a dick, because I have such terrible, like, social anxiety anyway. Like, you know, you lay down to fucking go to sleep at night and your brain is just like, hey, you remember that thing you did 8 years ago that embarrassed the fuck out of you? Like, you remember how you said something, like, it was a fact and it was wrong? Like, you remember when you, like, slipped and fell, like, coming up the stairs in front of all those people on that date? Or, like, you know, like, it's shit like that. I just play a fucking movie of that every night when I try to go to sleep. Anyway, so to like, be that kind of, like, anxious, wound-up person that already has, like, a pretty solid sense of self-loathing and then go through extra trauma like this. Because that's the thing. All of these things are trauma. Like, every time you go through a medical experience like this, like, I wholeheartedly believe you're experiencing an emotional trauma. Because you feel helpless. You know, your body goes through legitimate trauma. And you just have to deal with it. And I think I've said this before, but, like, sometimes my body just feels like a fucking prison. And it feels like I've spent my whole life being ripped apart and sewn back together again and again and again and again. And that's all the rest of my life has in store for me. And I mean, in a sense, like, that's true. But I also know that that's oversimplified and that, like, cool shit does happen. I don't know. I just want... I just want, honestly, like, I'm just ready for it to be done and over. Because this part feels like it cannot possibly, like, be the easy part. This feels like it's the worst part of it. Like, just waiting and having all these fucking feelings that are almost, they're almost moot points after the surgery, right? In the sense that, like, you've gone from just, like, letting your imagination run wild to, like, living in a reality. And in reality, right, after something like that, you watch yourself get a little better every day. Whereas I'm just in some kind of weird spiral of emotional nonsense. And I mean, it is odd. Because it's like, right now, I don't know, I feel okay. Like, I start talking about it. And I know that the world is a great, big, and wonderful, beautiful place. And that there's so much I have left to do. But, like, later on, I'm gonna put my headphones in and cry to the song Terrified by Childish Gambino, who I still refer to as Donald Glover. And I mean, I think that rapid fire sense of up and down is a really normal thing to go through. Being able to say it's normal and then feeling okay are two wildly different things. And it's like, it's one of the things, like, I don't sit down and record every day or multiple times a day because it's literally just this the entire time. I feel like I've said a version of this 1,000 times and I'll say it 1,000 more and then we'll just have to, like, and then we'll get into recovering from surgery. And I love the idea of the show, but I feel like I would love it more if I wasn't the host of the show. Again, like, I do have that sense of kind of, like, self-loathing. I mean, at least that keeps me humble, but so many people are looking, like, the first time I really got anxious about it was we had our first meeting about it, Trevor, Jeremy, and I. And they went home and they, like, posted on Facebook about how excited they were and how they thought this was going to be such a great show. And I should have felt supported and loved and been excited, but instead I was just like, fuck! Because people believing in me stresses me out. I'm sure that's relatable. Like, I really feel like stress because people believe in you should be on, like, the gifted kid burnout bingo list, you know? It's like, you are really promising, like, you are in the fourth grade and you could read at a high school level, and so many people believed in you and told you what great things you were gonna do, and then you never did those things. Now you just get stressed out anytime anyone's like, you got this. You're going to do great. We're putting a show on your shoulders. You're like, ah, dicks. That is a weird thing to say out loud, too. It's weird to be like, look, I know all of you believed that I was going to be some shit when I grew up, but I ain't shit. And I am sorry you have been tricked into believing I am. I know that's not necessarily true. Oh, it's pretty true. I'm not shit. Oh, man. I can't remember the last time I finished a book to even, like, pretend to be intelligent. I buy a lot of books, but I don't read a lot of books, if you know what I'm saying. And the thing is, like, let me talk to you about some shit that I did. Like, my last two boyfriends, before I started, God, this is so fucking pretentious. You can at me about this too, because it's the worst, okay? So I would pick out science fiction books, and I would mail them to their houses unannounced. Like, I wouldn't tell them they were coming. And then I would just listen to their opinions about those books. So it'd be like A Canticle for Leibovitz and Flowers for Algernon and Brave New World. Like, those are always, like, kind of in rotation. And then, you know, like, I would sprinkle in, like, Good Omens by Terry Pratchett and Neil Gaiman. Like, this is just who... It's dickish, right? That's a stupid story to tell, too. So it's, like, one of those things where it's, like, I don't want to date you if you don't read books, but, like, I never get time to read books. Double standards. I don't know why I'm like this. I don't mean to be like that. I really don't. There was a time, believe you me, like in the height of my depression cycle where I realized that things would never really be normal and I was in the middle of... I had like 3 of those surgeries in like 2 years, right? So it was a really short block of time and I just went fucking insane. I talked about this on like my first recorded journal. I went insane. And at that point I was just like, I'm a trash person. Like, I hope you enjoy it. Enjoy the spectacle. This is my show. I'm going to tell this story and it's so embarrassing. Okay. So, just in case you at any point believe, like, this is a good person and she's nobly dealing with her issues, I am not, and I am not doing that. I am making a valiant attempt to do it each and every day now, to deal with my issues in a healthy and positive way and not impact other people's lives negatively. But that's not what I always did. And if that's how you're handling it right now, it's not right, but I understand it and it's okay. Just don't spend too long in the sunken place. Okay, so I just had a bone fusion. So they'd gone into my left foot and they'd removed cartilage in between some joints and they ran 2 pins and 1 screw and they like kind of take some abrasion material to the bone so that they are encouraged to heal together. So I'm in a bar on a Sunday night at 10 p.m. in a fucking walking cast. Okay, so I'm in a cast. I get up to go to the bathroom. My stomach did not feel great, so I don't want to get into too many details about what I was doing in the bathroom, but I'm pretty sure you know. While I'm in the bathroom, so I have my purse in there and I'm in this cast, this lady starts banging on the door. And she's screaming. And it's not like I was in there a long time. I was in there a normal amount of time. But I think she was very drunk and maybe had done a skosh of cocaine. A sprinkling, if you will. So I came out of the bathroom. And it was one of those things where, like, I didn't have to do this. But venting the steam, if you're not actively dealing with your issues and consciously, like, thinking through your feelings, you just erupt and you have to vent the steam. And I think last journal I talked about when the need to kind of talk about things manifested itself, I would just like word vomit it out at random people and then leave. This is another thing where like the steam is just venting in a way. So I came out of the bathroom and there are like 2 women against the wall in the foyer of the bar I'm in. And I just said, can I fucking help somebody? And this woman steps off of the wall towards me and she starts yelling. Because I think she thought I was just in the bathroom doing cocaine and I was in the bathroom pooping, which still is like, I don't know if that's a reason. I don't know if that makes it any better, what I'm about to tell you, but I know it doesn't actually. Let me backtrack because I know it doesn't make it any better. So she steps off the wall and she's screaming in my face again about how other people need to use the bathroom. Like the fucking bathroom door is open. Like if you want to go in there, but she keeps screaming and she keeps coming towards me. So I'm like, do you have a fucking problem? And she says, no, do you? And I was like, no. And we go on like this for at least 2 minutes where she's screaming and walking up to me until I'm backed up against the wall, like with my purse on my shoulder in this cast. And it finally, I just say one more time, do you have a problem? And she says, no, do you? And I was like, I'm about to. And then she put her arm up on the wall and I was blocked in. So I hit her in the face a couple times. And then I put her in a chokehold and waited for the bartenders to come break us up. One of my favorite bartenders to this day, whom I still really love, his name is Ian, and he works at the Hilo, which is where all this happened, comes in and he goes, Ashley, stop. And like, I don't know what the look in my eyes was, but I, like, he could tell I wasn't gonna. So he looked at this woman in my arms and he says, stop. And she, like, crying from this chokehold, just says, I'm not doing anything. And I just was like, oh, fuck, what am I doing? So I let her go, and then I walked out of the bar. To be fair, this woman was a fucking champion of champions about this, because the bartender talked to her about what happened immediately, because I've never gotten into a fight in that bar. Other bars, yes, but not that one. And she was like, well, I was being an asshole, and that was my fault. So they came out and talked to me, and they were like, you don't have to leave. She said that it was her fault that this happened. And I was like, I'm going to go ahead and leave. I'm not an adult right now. But it turned out, 2 weeks later, it turned out that she was the soon-to-be ex-wife of one of my wine reps at my job, and I had to call that grown man and be like, you remember when your wife got beat up? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, that was me. I'm really sorry. And when word got around that that had happened, the reps from a different wine company started calling me the wife beater. So that's my professional nickname, is the wife beater. So yeah, I know a thing or two about trying to ignore your issues and push them deep down and then having those erupt in really terrible trash person ways. And I definitely don't judge anyone that's doing that, because you girls been out here on these streets making mistakes. It's one of those things where it's like, I'm grateful that no one like really holds that against me. Like my trash phase of trying to emotionally cope with my physical and resulting emotional dramas, but God damn it, I was real awful. And I mean, I don't know that I'm a great person now, so like, don't get me fucked up. Like, I still have no idea what I'm doing. I still have really unhealthy coping mechanisms, like just self-isolating. And I'm trying to deal with it, and that's really all you can do is try. God, I feel like I'm just fucking whining. That's the thing, like, I don't like to be pitied, and I don't like to complain. And there is a sense, like, when you're going through something like this, like, you feel fucking guilt about the fucked up emotions in your head. And I don't know how to deal with it, because I know that there's no reason to feel guilty and that this is a healthy process. So like, the only thing I know how to do is wait it out, and that sucks too. There's no way to make a painful, traumatic thing better other than reaching a point of acceptance, and you don't ever get to go to that place unless you feel all the shitty things too. You know, until you really stare deeply into your own opened wounds, make it a point to acknowledge the places they have been salted. You never get to go forward into a place of acceptance and peace. You know? And I have that sense. Like, Viktor Frankl, whom I've talked about before, and I'm sure I will talk about a lot, says that suffering ceases to be suffering the moment it finds meaning. And, like, there is a lot of meaning in this, but it's still fucking suffering. Is it meaningful? Yes. Is it an opportunity? Yes. But that doesn't make it better, okay? Like, it still fucking blows. And that is okay to say, and it's okay to feel that way. It doesn't make it suck less to know those things. Man. What a wild time in my life. Jesus. Okay. I am going to switch my laundry over, and then hopefully I get a moment to sit down and record some more later. Hopefully when, like, I'm a little more collected. Bye, guys.
This has been Footloose and Fancy Free, a production of Terminus Media. Footloose and Fancy Free is hosted by Ashley Scannell and produced by Ashley Scannell, Trevor Holtner, and Jeremy Wright. Theme music is by Breakmaster Cylinder. Please consider supporting Footloose and Fancy Free by going to anchor.fm/footloose-fancy-free or by subscribing to Footloose and Fancy Free on any of your favorite podcast apps. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Breaker, CastBox, Google Podcasts, Overcast, Pocket Casts, Radio Public, and Spotify. If you feel like supporting the show, you are absolutely free to do so. There is a button in the description of this episode that will take you to a page run by Anchor, which will allow you to donate $1, $5, or $10. Again, thank you so much for listening. Your support means the world, and we will see you in the next episode.